15. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it was imputed, if we believe on him that raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification.
Thank you, Brother Elwin, for reading the Word of God this morning. We certainly appreciate that, and it's good to see you this morning. I don't keep a record of snowfall, but I have to say that in the last couple years, God keeps sending these snowfalls on Sunday morning. Have you noticed that? And I think it's just His way of saying just how serious are these people about worship. So we are glad that you're here today. Cheryl sends her greetings. We appreciate your love and kindness and graciousness in the last week or so. She's been recovering from surgery, and the cards and the calls and the visits and the help and the food and the chocolate chip cookies have been appreciated. And I will say this, that I've eaten more of those than she has. But even the nurse needs nourishment. So we praise God. We praise God for that. Let's bow our heads right now. Let's ask God for His help. His Word is before us this morning. We need help to understand it. Father, thank You for allowing us to be here today. Thank You for Your grace that's given to us this blessed Word. And Father, help us today by faith to receive it. Help us today to be humble before You as Your Spirit works in our hearts. And we understand, by Your grace, the words of the Apostle Paul. Father, we need to understand better this justification by Your grace through faith, that we might know the great blessing that You bestowed upon us, and that we might share it more effectively with others. So, Lord, we commit this time to You, thanking You for what You will do in our hearts this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in Romans chapter 4, the Apostle Paul presents Abraham as the model, the supreme example of justification by grace through faith. And folks, the Bible without question teaches that a man can be right with God through faith. We are justified by God's grace through faith. But yet when we think about that, we need to ask a question. And an important question: what kind of faith brings this righteousness? What kind of faith brings this justification that we've spoken about? What kind of faith did Abraham possess? Because whatever it was, we need that same kind of faith for salvation. So beginning here in Romans chapter 4, verse 17, the Apostle Paul gives us several characteristics of Abraham's faith and the faith that's necessary for salvation. So the question that each one of us needs to ask and answer this morning is this: does this describe my faith? Does the faith of Abraham, is that the faith that I have? Is that my faith? So what are the characteristics of this faith that Paul describes that belongs to Abraham? This faith that is connected to God's grace and the justification that it brings. Let's look first of all at verse 17. And I want you to notice that Abraham believed the right person. Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. First and foremost, our faith or our belief or our trust must be centered upon a person. And Paul says here, do you see it? That Abraham believed God. Now, many people today claim to have faith. You can talk to people, you can talk to them on the street, you can talk to them in your neighborhood, and people claim to have faith. Many people today say, I believe this, or I believe that, or I believe this person, or I believe this. This is the religion that I believe. But the real question is, whom do they believe? In whom do they believe? Because, folks, I would say to you this morning that the simple act of believing will not save you. The existence of faith in your life will not save you. You see, believing or trusting in the wrong thing will not save you. Believing or trusting in the wrong person will not save you. Salvation comes not by having faith, but by having faith in the person of God. Now let me explain that through the words of the Apostle Paul. Notice that God promised to make Abraham the father of many nations. We see it in verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God. See, God made that promise to Abraham when Abraham did not and could not have a son. And by believing and trusting and accepting God's word of promise, God gave to Abraham righteousness. Hold your place here in Romans chapter 4 and turn with me to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15. I want you to see that, that passage that Paul actually quotes or refers to several times. Genesis chapter 15, and look at verses 5 and 6. Genesis 15, verses 5 and 6. Then he, that's God, then he brought him, that's Abraham, outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he, Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Folks, that's the statement that Paul uses a few times in this chapter, Romans chapter 4, as he's describing justification by faith. Abraham heard God's word. Abraham heard God's promise, and he received it by faith. So think about this. Abraham was unworthy. Abraham was undeserving. But Abraham was given a promise by the grace of God, and he believed that promise. The essence of saving faith is believing or trusting God and His Word. The essence of saving faith is believing the Word of God, believing the promise of God, believing the grace of God that gives His Word, and receiving that, and trusting that, and believing that. Now, Romans 4:17. Notice the kind of God that Abraham believed in. Paul says, who gives life to the dead. So Abraham believed in a God who gives life to the dead. Now, at that time, God gave the promise. Abraham's body was dead. In other words, he had no children. He was an old man. His wife Sarah was also old and barren, but Abraham believed in the power of God to bring life from death. He believed what God said. He believed that God would give him a son when both he and Sarah were dead to bringing forth children. Folks, this is the same God in whom we must believe. This is the same God who gave His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins and then raised Him from the dead, or gave life to the dead. Abraham believed in the God who gives life to the dead. We believe in the God who raises the dead. And so what is required in saving faith for us today is a definite trust in the God who has raised Jesus Christ from the dead. This Jesus who died for our sins. And this, of course, is what we call the gospel, the good news. And this is the good news, the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. That's the gospel. And it's God through faith in what He's done through Jesus Christ that brings us from the deadness of sin and eternal separation from God to forgiveness of sins and life eternal. Our faith must be in the God who brings life from the dead. Look at verse 17, because Paul gives a second description of this God and calls those things which are not as though they were. Now this could speak of God's creative power. God spoke, and things that did not exist then existed. But yet, when you look at the context, I think the context points to God's sovereign power. Look at God's statement to Abraham here. Notice that it's not, "I will make you the father of many nations." But look at the statement, "I have made you the father of many nations." In other words, God made that statement before Abraham had a son. God made that statement before Abraham had any descendants. God calls those things which are not as though they were. Abraham didn't have a son. He had only the promise of God. But Abraham believed what God said would be done, and he put his life and his future and his destiny in God's hands. And folks, that's the same God who says to us, through Jesus Christ, your sins can be forgiven. Through Jesus Christ, you can have eternal life. And God gives you and me a promise, and it's good as done. And He offers it in grace, and we must accept it by faith. This then was the faith of Abraham. He believed what God said. He believed that God would bring life from the dead. He believed what God said was as good as done. And on the basis of this kind of faith, God gave Abraham righteousness. He credited righteousness to his account. And He'll do the same for us today. Does this describe your faith? Is this the kind of faith that you have today? The faith of Abraham. Look at verse 18. Because we see a second characteristic of this saving faith. Notice that Abraham believed God's promise. Paul writes, "Who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be." Notice, "Who contrary to hope, in hope believed." That sounds like a contradiction. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed. And it simply means that Abraham hoped when there was no hope. Against all human reasoning, against all human possibility, Abraham trusted God. And folks, the basis of this hope was God's word to him. Abraham believed the promise of God. Now, it didn't make any sense for Abraham to hope when he did, but God promised that he would be the father of many nations, or the father of many descendants, and Abraham believed him. And as a result of this faith, the hope was fulfilled through Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham was the father of many nations. Folks, if there ever was a solid foundation for hope, it's the promise of God. When God makes a promise, when God tells us something in His Word, you can bank on it. Yeah.
You can put your hope in it. And it's more hopeful or it's more solid than any person or anything or any organization, anything on this planet. When God makes a promise, God will keep His promise. There are many people today who say, this question of salvation makes no sense. It makes no sense that God must judge sin. It makes no sense that sin brings separation from God. It makes no sense that one man must pay for the sins of the world. It makes no sense that we must trust someone else for salvation. But I say to you this morning, God says that's so. God says that's true. And folks, there is no hope in ourselves. We cannot reach God's glory and greatness because we are but dust. We cannot look upon God's face, for He dwells in light inapproachable. We cannot comprehend His wisdom, for He is infinite. We cannot attain His righteousness. It's beyond our grasp. What's that mean? We're helpless. We're hopeless. So what is our hope? How can we lay hold of God the same way that Abraham did? By believing Him. Folks, it means that the weakest, vilest, most hopeless of men can believe what God says. It means that anyone, any person who can't do anything for God can still have the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ by believing, by receiving, by God's grace through faith what God has done. God says that Christ died for us and was raised that we might be declared righteous. And faith, simple faith, connects us with Almighty God. Our hope for righteousness and eternal life rests on God's promise of salvation in Christ Jesus. The words of that old hymn say this, "My hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and righteousness." This was the faith of Abraham. And on the basis of this kind of faith, God put righteousness to his account and will do the same for us. Does this describe your faith? Notice a third characteristic. We see it in verse 19. Abraham believed in spite of impossibilities. Paul says, "And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform." Now, many people today say that faith is a rejection of reality. Many people say that faith is a closing of the mind and the senses, but actually, it's the opposite. It's the opposite of that. Faith is the opening of the mind and the senses to the reality of God. You see, those people who say, "Well, you're foolish to think that there is a God, and you're foolish to think that there is a God who is personal, and you're foolish to think that this God would love something that He's created and would actually give and sacrifice His Son to pay for the sins of the world and actually raise Him from the dead. It's foolishness to believe that, and that's not reality." And yet, for those by the grace of God who have received that grace through faith, it's foolish to reject the reality of God. It's foolish to close your mind and your thoughts to the Creator of the universe. It's foolish to reject the grace of God that will save those who put their trust in Jesus Christ. You see, we have to ask ourselves, who are the real fools on this planet? Who are the foolish people? The psalmist said, "The fool says in his heart that there is no God." Abraham believed. Notice now that Abraham was faced with circumstances that were impossible. Paul says he was an old man of almost 100 years old, and he was getting older every day. I know what that feels like to you. His wife was old, almost 90, could never have children. God had promised many years earlier, about 25 years earlier, that they would have a son, but nothing happened. Can you imagine? Year after year goes by, God has made this promise. Year after year, no son, no children, no conception. Abraham and Sarah grew tired of waiting. They tried some things in their own power and their own strength. And folks, that never works. Didn't work for Abraham and Sarah. Doesn't work for us today. God made the promise. They waited. They trusted. They believed. God made that promise. This was the reality of the circumstances that they lived in their lives. And folks, Abraham had a choice. He could stand on his side of the circumstances and see only the impossibilities. Or he could look above the circumstances and he could look upon the God who overshadows them and towers above them and controls them and makes them as nothing. You know, there are people who live in the circumstances of life. Frankly, we all live in the circumstances of life. But yet there are people who never look above the circumstances of life and fix their attention on God. They look at the circumstances of life and they say, this will never change. They look at the circumstances of life and they'll say, woe is me. They'll look at the things that are taking place in their lives and they'll say, this never changes. They'll look at the consequences of their own sin in their lives and they say, nothing can be done. But God, but folks, I would say to you this morning that there is a God who changes lives, and there is a God who changes circumstances. There is a God full of mercy and grace who will bring people up from the miry pit of sin and the consequences of sin and set their feet on the solid rock of faith and trust in this God. Abraham looked above the circumstances and he saw God. And this is the kind of faith that God requires. The God who can raise the dead. The God who calls things that are not as though they are, can and will fulfill His promises despite the circumstances, despite the impossibilities. Look at verse 20, because Paul says that Abraham did not weaken, he did not waver, he did not stagger. He believed God completely. His faith was directed to God and God alone. And though there were times when he struggled and did not fully understand God's workings, his trust was in God, and by trusting God, he glorified God. And folks, in our worship this morning, we touched upon or we focused on the glory of God, and I will say this even as clear as I can, that the greatest way that we can glorify God is by trusting God, by depending upon God. The greatest way that we can honor God, the greatest way that we can show that God is of great value to us is to depend upon God and trust Him and rely upon Him in our lives. Remember the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. Impossible to please God without faith. By trusting God, Abraham glorified God. Now, what does that say to us this morning? It says that difficulties and improbabilities and situations and natural appearances are no barriers to God and must not be a barrier to faith. How many times have you heard of a man too evil or too hard to be saved? How many times have you heard of a community that is so dark that the gospel cannot penetrate it? How many times have you heard of a relationship that was broken and could not be fixed? Folks, how many times have you heard the words, it can't be done, or it's impossible, when speaking about the work of God? How many times in your own life have you thought, God can do nothing for me? Faith looks at the circumstances and then fixes its attention on God. Because when we can do nothing, God can, and according to His purpose will, and God is therefore glorified. As a matter of fact, whether it's for salvation or whether it's for sanctification, God actually will bring us to a point when we look at ourselves and we look at circumstances and we look at the things around us and come to a point that we say, I can't do anything. And when He brings us to that point, when we acknowledge that we can do nothing in ourselves, that's when faith will receive the grace of God. And not until that point. Because if we're still holding on to ourselves and we're still trusting in ourselves, we will not receive the grace of God. But when we come to that point, when we are hopeless and helpless and undone and everything we've tried doesn't work and we're at the very, very bottom of the barrel of life and situations and circumstances and our own strength, it is then that the grace of God will pick us up and lift us up as we trust Him and believe in Him. That's the faith that saves us. Faith looks at the circumstances and then fixes its attention on God. And this, folks, was the faith of Abraham. And on the basis of this kind of faith, God put righteousness to his account, and God will do the same for us. Is this a description of your faith? And then finally, last characteristic, look at verses 21 and 22. Notice that Abraham believed God would perform. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. In other words, God made the promise, and God is able to keep the promise. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. So Abraham was fully persuaded in his own mind that God was able to carry out his promise. Abraham trusted God's power to perform. This was the essence of Abraham's faith. It was complete. It was unqualified. What God said, God would do. And folks, that brings us then to the point of personal salvation. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, God said, Abraham, look at the stars. So will your descendants be. And Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Though everything was against it, Abraham said, I know God can do this thing. I can trust God. I can put my faith in God, and he did. And the result, look at verse 22, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. This is the key to the whole passage. If you want Romans chapter 4 and you want the summary of Romans 4, here it is. Through faith, righteousness was imputed or credited to Abraham by God. And so what is the conclusion? Did Abraham get anything by works? Not one single thing. He got his righteousness by God's grace through faith. So the application to us this morning is very plain. Why? Because this was not written for Abraham's sake alone. Paul says, verse 23, now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. Righteousness can be imputed to you and to me in the very same way. And how is that? Look at verse 24. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Folks, this morning, God has one way of saving men in all ages. It's by His grace through faith. Whatever time, whatever age, whatever place, there is one way. It is by God's grace through faith. Now, with Abraham, God said, you will have a son. And Abraham believed. And with us, God says, I have given my son for you, and we must believe. Look at verse 17. Abraham believed God who gives life to the dead. Look at verse 24. We believe in God who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. In other words, Abraham believed God who was able to perform, verse 21. And folks, we believe God who has already performed, verse 24. He raised Jesus from the dead. And so the answer for man's need is God's grace through faith, always has been, always will be. This is the faith of Abraham. And on the basis of this kind of faith, God put righteousness to his account, and he will do the same for us today. Does this describe your faith? Let's be honest today. Let's be clear as we look at our own faith. Is your faith this morning in the right person? Is it in God who gives life to the dead? Is your faith in the promise of God? Is it in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Is your faith against the impossible? Do you look around at the circumstances and see God? Is your faith in the performing power of God? Do you believe what God says that God will do? With this kind of faith, God will credit righteousness to your account, just as he did Abraham. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we bow before you this morning, we understand, I pray that we understand our great and deep need. We need your righteousness. There is no hope of a relationship with you, no hope of eternal life without your righteousness. And yet, Father, we understand from your word that we have none. We have no righteousness of our own. But God, we praise you today that you sent one to this earth, Jesus, the God-man, who was perfectly righteous. And you sent him to take our place, to die for us, to pay the penalty of our sin, to be raised from the dead. And God, in your infinite wisdom, you devised this plan whereby we would not get this righteousness by doing something good, by working, by laboring, by doing some kind of action. But God, in your purpose and plan, you said believe. By your grace, you've done this. You've promised this. And by your grace, you say it must be by faith. Thank you, Father. And thank you that even that faith that's necessary, you, by a incomprehensible work in our own hearts, brings that very faith that's needed. Thank you, Father, for your work, for your labor, for your love, and for your grace. And Father, I ask this morning, if there's anyone here today who's not placed their faith in Jesus Christ, in you through Jesus, that today would be that day when you bring them from darkness to light, and that salvation is theirs. We pray for that. May we be encouraged in the faith of Abraham. And Father, help us by your Spirit to examine our own faith this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.